Do you like my singing? Don't have me sing. I will not be doing fundraiser fall. Oops. Good morning. And good morning and welcome to the specially scheduled Morro Bay Tourism Board Advisory Board meeting. Today is Thursday, August 23rd, 2012. Let the record show that it's 9:06 a.m. and that we do have a quorum here. Let the record show that we have a full board joining us today. And at this time, if there are any announcements from the board, and then we'll open it up for public comment. Any announcements from the board? Today is the first day of school, so I would ask that everyone please watch for kids on their bicycles and walking to school and skateboarding, and that you drive safely. And also, August 26th is the anniversary of the women's right to vote, which is very, very nice. we like that. We like equal rights. Additionally, I'd like to announce to the board that the travel scope segment that we paid for in conjunction in a partnership with the City of San Luis Obispo, the County of San Luis Obispo, and Incorporated CBIDs, the TBID in San Luis, the TBID in Pismo, all the bids got together and paid to bring Joseph, I can't say his last name, and his wife to come and stop in the Central Coast. They were traveling from Malibu to Big Sur on their anniversary, and we sponsored them on an oyster tour with out to the oyster beds, Neil Maloney, and on some boat cruising through the bay on their actual anniversary day. And that was filmed here in Morro Bay, and that will be airing on KCB Channel 50. It's a local, it's like a PBS. You can go to travelscope.com. And it will be airing at the very end of this month, and in September is the first airing, and it's guaranteed to show quite a few times. I do have a copy of it in hand, and at our next meeting I'll ask AGP if they can help us get it queued up so we can at least watch that segment together. But we can't watch it until it's actually been aired. We can't put it on air here until it's been aired, so we'll wait for that. And so that was exciting. And now, at this time, if there's no other announcements, excuse me, I'd like to open up the floor for public comment. Any members of the audience wishing to step forward, if you don't already know this, please state your name. And try and limit it to about 3 minutes if you can.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is John Bart. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I've been interested in this issue since my wife served on the Community Promotions Committee many years ago, and you all probably have heard me talk on the subject before. I'd like to speak regarding the responsibilities of the Director of Tourism. You guys have been given a lot of power here, and I hope you use it. And here's my logic on that. Every one of the people on this board and the other boards and the public, we all have a bunch of great ideas about how to promote the town. But it's like a bunch of people on a battlefield, each with their own battle plan. You need a general, okay? And general, a good general costs money, and a good general has authority, and a good general has responsibility. And I hope that those are what you focus on with who it is and how you make the job description. I hope you don't dilute the workload in such a way that the individual involved will not be able to effectively do the number one thing, which is increase tourism. I think that's where you have to hold them responsible. But beyond that, I think you have to give them room to maneuver. And I think you have to be very careful about who you choose. And I think they should be well paid again. And I do think they should be answerable to this board, but not on a grain of sand basis. Don't second guess them. You know, leave them to do their thing. But insist that they do their thing with good analysis, you know, with real thought and real, you know, in kind of an academic way, if you will, so that when they come up with their plan and they go to implement the plan, that they will have the opportunity to either make it go or you'll see that it won't, and then you can get rid of them, because that's part of the deal, is you guys can fire that person. So if you pay them well and expect a lot from them and get a lot from them, everybody's going to be happy. And if you don't get a lot from them, get somebody else. So I hope that's the direction you guys are going. A wise man once told me that when he needed to get something important done, he always hired the best because they got the job done. And so this is not a time for amateur hour. That's a very important, and you all know this. I mean, I'm speaking to the choir here. You all know how important tourism is to the income for the city, to the lived services, to everybody else who lives here. And so I hope you take that to heart and don't get too...
The draft that we used last time with my notes on it to see that... did everybody get a chance to read these, first of all?
Yeah.
Everybody read these? Okay. So I think we should go through where we made, where we wanted to make changes, and we should look and be sure that those changes were agreed upon for all of us. So let's start with paragraph two, article two. Is that article two, purpose? And the old one read, the purpose of this corporation shall be to promote and, promote increased tourism in Morro Bay, improve the condition of tourism business environments through the development and operation of a tourism improvement district, marketing and promotional programs and incentives. And I have that we wanted to add in and after promote on the first line, line one. Promote so that it reads, the purpose of this corporation shall be to promote and increase tourism in, and we added in, the city of Morro Bay by improving and strengthening the condition of tourism business environment. Of the tourism business environment, the objective shall be strengthening the condition of the tourism business environment. The objective shall be accomplished through the development and operation of a tourism improvement district and other marketing, branding, and promotional programs and incentives to promote the common interests of Morro Bay businesses.
And I think we need to do some spell check on this because strength is still missing N on it.
I don't see that.
This one.
S-T-R-E-N.
Yeah.
It's missing N in there.
Improving and strengthening. Oh, the N.
Oh, got you. Do you see that? Sorry, I was looking at the N for the ING. What? Okay, here we go. And did we correct ensure needed to be? Ensure needs to be corrected. Yeah, this is a spell check.
Where are you with ensure?
Down in the article three.
No,
is it in there?
It's okay. In here. That's a word.
We had that circled last time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought we were still on article two.
Sorry. My fault.
Just to point out, though, that you did want to take out that promote the common interest of Morro Bay tourism business.
Yep.
And council came back and said they needed that in for IRS purposes. So that's why that was left in there.
So this is left in there because... Okay. And when you're talking about John Lambeth? Okay. Thank you. Okay. So we move to article... I'm sorry, go ahead. Is everybody fine with that?
Yes.
Just head shakes side to side. Okay, thank you. We're moving to article 5 now, which is where... We had some spell check things that we were doing on Article 4, but on Article 5, we wanted to add the word lodging in on 1, 2, 3, 4. Under Article 5, directors, 7 ex officio. I'm sorry, Article 5, Section 1, before restaurants, did we strike that whole thing? I I have here that we wanted to add the word lodging in. The corporation shall have no less than seven member advisory board, shall be ex officio voting directors of the board. Okay.
I put it into criteria because it what we were talking about was, I don't have my red line, I apologize, but as I remember it is when I saw we were in numbers, you were talking about criteria, how much are going to be from the lodging and how
right.
much not. So if you look down in the criteria, it specifically says that the five ex officio directors shall be representative of the lodging businesses. So you'll always have five, no matter what. Of that five, one will be with 22 rooms or less, and one will be for 50 or more.
Okay.
Then the two ex officio, that's the only way I could really get it all classified, mm-hmm. would be those two at-large members. And then above and beyond seven is where this board will pick. The council wouldn't pick those members. And those members will be from...
That's fine.
Exactly.
That's fine. The lodging got added in. That was what we had.
Lodging, restaurants, retail, and recreational
yep.
businesses.
That lodging was up. And
I'm hoping that's clear. Do you guys read that? That's the
totally
way.
Totally clear.
So, just to be clear on that, if it was this board, John wouldn't sit on there.
No, John would as the because there's seven. You remember, there's seven ex officios.
Two ex officios large. Okay. The
at
remaining
large.
Non-ex officio.
Must be from the lodging, restaurant, retailer,
okay,
recreation.
I get it. Okay.
So
that's if we ever decide to add more, Jane. If we ever decide, like, three years from now.
And for those extra members, you have the ability to put them on, take them off, do whatever you want with them, and the city would not be involved. It's just for those seven.
Mm-hmm.
Will always remain five from the lodging and two at large. The at large could be from business, retail, restaurants.
Right. Okay. Okay, so going down.
Okay, can I have a quick question also?
Okay.
On just below there on tenure, when the bureau is formed, would our term on this board be as it is now, or would it start from zero? I mean, would it start?
I would.
Our terms are the same. They carry over, right?
Right. I think we would just keep them the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could re-stagger them again. You want those seven to be staggered, but I think the easiest way is just to continue those.
Right,
on.
Just to keep them the way they are. Okay.
I mean, you know, unless you want to go through some twice,
right.
Wondering if
no,
you're going
to... No, I'm just
okay.
Wanting to kind of know where I stand.
If you want to jump
stand.
Through hoops twice, you can, Nick. Okay. Continue down. And we will be moving to, we had nothing in the next, we had nothing all the way through until we got to Section 7, Occurrences of Vacancies, which I had notation on occurrences of vacancies, sorry, under E. A director's failure to attend three consecutive meetings or four meetings in any year, or, and then we wanted to add calendar year so that we understood that it was a calendar year, not a fiscal year, and it should be consecutive regularly scheduled meetings or four meetings in any year or calendar year.
We look back at the bylaws for the T-bid and all the rest, and it actually goes for four regular scheduled meetings in any consecutive 12-month period.
Okay, so
it isn't based on a calendar year. It's based on a consecutive month period, which I thought I had changed to calendar, but I was told I hadn't.
Okay, and I'm going through. Ch-
Sure. Okay, so let me just clarify.
Okay.
Because Alex and I are arguing. Okay.
And that's good.
Even though that
that's a good thing.
This is being formed, okay, and the incorporator is who?
John Lambeth is okay. The initial corporator.
Okay, so he's the one that's appointing the initial board because it says the incorporator.
Correct.
All right.
Because those have to be listed on the incorporation
papers.
That's
thing one. The other thing is that even though this is being set up for one annual meeting, which is to distribute a budget to TBID to do it, there's nothing really in here about the purpose, which is to do the budget. It's basically our purpose is to promote tourism, but how are we doing it? You know, it's through disseminating a budget or approving a budget, and money will be used by TBID, right? So my thing is, even though there's supposed to be one annual meeting, the way it says here how we can get rid, you know, people vacating it, it infers that, and this is what I want Alex to be clear about, that we can call other meetings if we need meetings monthly. Okay.
Oh, you're gonna
and that's what I
remember.
So
please,
that's why.
It shows that we need just a 72-hour public notice.
Right.
Of the agenda.
Right. So
right.
We want to have more meetings here for the Bureau. That's
correct.
A separate entity.
You could have them every day if
this,
you want.
Yeah.
These bylaws only pertain to the nonprofit corporation. And by nonprofit corporation law, the bylaws have to state that you're going to have an annual meeting. You're going to have many more meetings than just an annual meeting. I mean, this nonprofit is the arm that will be doing all the work. It's really as a TBID advisory board is the board that will get together only maybe twice or three times a year under the city's representation to go over the budget or to provide recommendations on the budget. But this is the board that will not only meet annually, but will meet monthly or weekly or whatever you guys determine is the need on your own without the city involvement.
Okay. See, I was under the impression it was flipped. I was under the impression that the Bureau was just going to give the money to TBID and TBID would have the monthly meetings.
Nope.
Opposite. TBID's the collector.
Okay.
We give the money to the Bureau.
And
the Bureau hires the guy. Bureau hires the guru, and the guru does the work.
The Bureau has the contract with the tourism director. It has the contract with the city with regards to the funding of the money, and that's why it's meeting. It has the contract with the city if we get there for the visitor center. It has all the contracts. That's the main thing now. This nonprofit can enter into contracts and can determine whether they're being performed correctly, whereas the current TBID advisory board does not have that authority. And that's the main difference I see. You're going to have the authority to contract, to fire, to hire, to do what needs to be done, instead of waiting for the city.
And then the officers of the corporation come from the Bureau also?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I do not see any other changes there. I see all changes that we asked for noted, and I would ask for a motion from one of my glorious members here to move that we accept the bylaws as amended after they are spell-checked. If we would just be so kind as to just go through those one more time with a spell check. So looking for a motion to accept bylaws as amended with a spell check.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the bylaws, Morro Bay Tourism Bureau bylaws, as provided with this document.
I'll second.
Is there any discussion?
I have one discussion, and that is, don't we also have to basically now elect the officers so that we can sign this off?
We'll do that afterwards.
Yeah, we'll do that afterwards.
That's on the agenda.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I have actually one potential change,
okay.
And I'm trying to figure it out between the two versions, but in the old version, there was section 2 of Article 8.
Article 8.
Wait a minute. No, that's the wrong one.
Okay.
Article 11, where it says that the...
page 10.
Yes, page 10 of the old one. Oh, sorry. Where the president, CEO, would be a member of all committees.
Where's that?
Well, it's Article 11, Operations and Administration.
Yes, Section 2.
Section 2, Article 11.
President and CEO.
Oh, I'm on the wrong article. That's why I can't find it.
It's been dropped?
Yeah, I thought we dropped. I thought that we had...
It's the revised one.
I think I have a what is this around that.
Attend all meetings of the board.
No, it's still in there under president and CEO.
Serve as an ex officio.
That's if we want to elect... That's if we want to employ one.
Right.
Yeah, it only pertains if we want to employ somebody.
CEO is a Lisa Franklin, a Craig Schmidt.
Right. And I'm just... And it's going to be our director of tourism.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying...
Well, it doesn't need to be. Your director of tourism doesn't necessarily need to be the president and CEO. He could be, or he, she, but doesn't need to be. This says the board may employ. But were you concerned having that member as...
we would, as a board, form some committees. One of those committees might be an audit committee. And so if your chief executive or whoever this person is a member of the audit committee... The audit committee is investigating a member of the committee, which is probably not an ideal situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying maybe strike.
Take that one out?
Sorry?
You can take that one out.
Yeah, I'm just saying if we could just strike E, that would solve the problem. I mean, we would probably make that person member of almost every committee, but there would be selectively some committees we wouldn't.
Committees then?
I just strike E.
Just strike it out.
Yeah.
I have no problem making that friendly amendment to my motion.
Good catch, John. Thank you.
And always remember, this is a working document. These bylaws will be very easy to change. I mean, except really the only section you can't change would be that 7-member issue that the city wants to be involved with. But besides for that, if you find that there's things that don't work, it can be changed very easily at once it's in.
We have a motion and a second on the table. Has the second been amended?
Yeah. I'll accept the amendment on the second, friendly amendment.
Okay.
Or I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion on this? My gosh, I feel like this is a giant hurdle. Okay, ready? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Well, let the record show that the motion carries with a full board approval.
Yay.
That's a big step for us. Thank you, everyone, for your hours and hours and hours of volunteer work on this. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Board.
Oh, I just feel a weight. Okay. Okay. We are on to 2. Discussion and development of the job description, job advertisement for the Director of Tourism. I sent you the final last night with the last changes in it. All we need to do is adopt this so that we can get this out and have it posted. Additionally, you'll note that we have added the resumes will be accepted a timeline from August 26th to September 17th. Because we're 3 weeks behind on beginning our hiring, we've shortened that window to a 3-week window instead of a 4-week window. As soon as we approve this, these will be put on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday schedule to be released to the publications that we had previously approved. And if we approve that new, if we just adopt this new set, I will go back and adjust the entire timeline based off of this hiring schedule and then forward it to the board within the next week or so. So, questions?
Yes. Down at the bottom where it says you may mail your information to, now 595 Napa, where is that?
City Hall.
It's on Napa?
Isn't it on Napa? Oop. What do we got?
I think that's the mail. That's the...
Harvard. Oh, it's 595 Napa, what did I get that?
Yeah. I think that's, anyway.
Okay, we will make that friendly amendment. Yeah, right. I don't know. That's a small town, though. It would get there.
We'll get there.
Okay, so I'll make that correction because that's a giant step, okay? And we've sent them to Attention City Clerk MBTB, which is the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. She'll know to gather them for us. Additionally, they can send them to our new email address for that, which you see noted there, which we'll release when we release the job stuff. any other questions or concerns?
What are
salary ranges on there?
On the... on the base salary, mm-hmm. when will we decide what the benefits and incentives are?
When we decide how qualified the individual is.
Okay. So will the...
During negotiations.
So the incentives would be based on, you know, measurable increases in TOT, et cetera, stuff like that? Or I guess we need to determine that.
Absolutely.
Need, okay.
Yeah. Just to be clear, the more information at morrobay.org/career is the 3-page handout, a broader job description?
Yeah, it will actually, we're going to post the ad there. We're going to post this job description there. And additionally, I would like to post just the bullet points of our timeline so that they know that X week, once I adjust that back, X week, they would need to be available basically for an interview process during that window and during that second window to try and make themselves available because... You know, one of the worst things that can happen is, you know, you've got somebody applying for the job and you think they're a terrific candidate, and then you call them, and yeah. So, anyhow, I'd also like to have a abbreviated timeline on there.
And certainly, I've been through the process of this with city managers and department heads. So there will be negotiations as that. You know, list a salary range, but that
right.
could change through that. And if you'd like to take up. Number four, since it's somewhat of the same, which is discussion of the Community Selection Committee of the interview panel for the Tourism Bureau Directors. I've done my research on the Brown Act, and this body can meet in closed session to do the interviews, so there won't be any need to do a community panel. I would suggest all seven of you sit on that for that selection and be involved in those, and there's you do fall under that exception since you will be the actual board that will be hiring that person.
Awesome. That was a question we were going to ask you, so we'll get down to number four and just go that direction, or we can just
you
say
just
now
do that. I mean, unless you really didn't want to do it differently.
Mm,
I mean, and you could do two separate panels, you know, but at least we won't have to worry about the Brown Act. If you
when
want
we get
it,
down there, we'll get consensus
yeah,
from the
but
board,
at least
right?
We won't have to worry about anybody
okay.
else.
And, right.
and you know, when we get closer, I guess, you know, you've got some issues there. You could all serve on one panel and just have that in front. You could break it up and do four and three, and even appoint, if you want, a couple community members and do two separate panels. For our police chief, they're doing three panels. So it depends if you want any other outside to help you in that selection process or your seven, and that's going to be totally up to you guys, and I think we've got a little bit of time to make that decision, but at least we now know we don't have to worry about the Brown Act. It'll be a closed session.
Okay, so we'll discuss that when we get down there. Thank you. So are we set to adopt and launch? The only changes that have been made are the salary has been put in there. We'll get the harbor put in there. The opening and closing date for the ads.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Everyone comfortable?
I think it's
nothing
fine.
Else has changed. You guys have adopted it
yeah.
before. We did, but we had to wait to add in our new timeline. There's a new timeline on there. See the timeline here for opening and closing the application process. So I just want to make sure that we're all square and legal.
The only thing I think about 3 weeks, if you don't get somebody, I guess we're going to extend it.
Correct. Yeah. So we'll look at what we drag in 3
exactly.
weeks. We'll throw our net out there and see what we get. Okay, so do we have a motion to adopt that?
The only other question I have, Joan, is this will go live when?
Sherry is waiting for me to call her after this meeting so that she can make sure that what she's got prepped to go can fly out the windows for a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday release.
Perfect. Move to accept the job description and job advertisement for Director of Tourism.
I second to that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 7. Thank you. Okay, here we are to the discussion and consideration of future sites to include funding mechanisms for the Visitor Center. Welcome to the Visitor Center discussion. I think John and Karen and I have beat this horse to death, but we're back at it today to tell you where we're at. But we've made good, really good headway, which is, I think, you know, we've gathered new information. We feel very comfortable after talking to a contractor. So a report was sent to you last night by Karen. It's kind of a compare and contrast, as you will, with the two sites, the red building down in the Centennial parking lot next to the restroom, and the what was used to be the Morro Bay Realty Rentals building, which doesn't really have a name, on what street is that on? Morro Bay Boulevard. Hello. Well, it's at Morro Bay Boulevard and Morro. Yeah. For the public, I'll just say that our first choice was Verge's on the Embarcadero, and that's been eliminated, as we discussed, because it was taken by somebody else for rental for commercial fishing. We had been told that.
Exactly. The tenant has changed in that building, and also it was problematic from a Measure D standpoint. It was going to have to somehow, the visitor center, be primarily related to the fishing and recreational fishing and commercial fishing. So it was just it was difficult, although it was certainly visitor serving. I think we're best with not using that site.
Okay. So that was eliminated, so you could just scratch that right off on the top. So our two remaining spots were the Centennial Building and the Morro Bay Realty. The Morro Bay Realty building. And so let's look at the Centennial parking lot building. It's the red building, and we're talking about just the garage portion on the lower. It's 480 square feet. We would need to negotiate with the city. Right now it currently houses some electric vehicles and a maintenance warehouse shop. So in the negotiations, we would have to find a home for those items for the maintenance department. The cost per month, of course, we felt like it should be zero, so we wrote that down. The improvements were estimated by a contractor who came through to be somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000. That includes exterior paint on the building, interior drywall, the additions of closing in the garage doors and putting, you know, glass windows and turning it into a retail office-type storefront, putting flooring in. And separating out an office for the DOT. We would have to close off the bathroom there because it's just not. And so we would just kind of wall that up and close that off and just have a utility-type sink kitchenette area there. And then workers, employees, and guests would use the public restroom right next door, which is provided by the city. Again, it's 480 square feet. It's in a good location on the Embarcadero for foot traffic. It would be a high foot traffic area, and you would have a big sign that would be within the sign ordinance, but exposed to the Embarcadero there to draw people in. And the parking area is a large parking lot that's shared with the city, and it surrounds a parking street parking that is also designated by the city as a street that's designated solely for parking and also next to a park. The Morro Bay Realty Rental, old rental, Morro Bay Rental building on Morro Bay Boulevard. I bet you Alex has no idea where this is. it's at the corner of Morro and Morro Bay Boulevard. It's available now. And they've dropped the rent down to $850 a month plus utilities, which the rent alone would be $10,200 a year. The improvements on it are estimated between $3,000 and $5,000, and you know that would be for us to paint it, the interior and bring it up. It's 450 square feet, so it's 30 square feet smaller. It's two blocks above the Embarcadero on Morro Bay Boulevard, and it has 5 to 6 designated parking spaces. The rental space needs work on the landscaping in the parking lot, and the realtor who's in charge of that, the call-in number, has indicated that the owner is willing to work with the tenant on these issues and on the exterior painting. The owner has also indicated that there's room for a deck to create a little outdoor space, which they might be willing to develop. There is a bathroom in there that's ADA compliant for workers and employees, but it has to be accessed through what would be the DOT's office, so it's not a, it would not be considered a downtown public restroom. However, one of the things that we discussed, what we didn't put in the report here, was that that building does do something very nice for the city, which is to take under consideration the, I believe it's the RUDAP plan, to marry the Embarcadero and the downtown by placing our visitor center just up at the top kind of Centennial Stairway, which is going to get an escalator. And then we could, we thought, have a kiosk down on the Embarcadero in the park area where the flags are, and let people know that there's more visitor serving information up at the visitor center two blocks to the east. So those were our thoughts there. So I'm going to open it up now for discussion, but I'm going to go down the line and poll you so that we don't kind of go back and forth. So Jane, do you want to start?
Sure. One of the things that I look at is a forward vision, something 3 to 5 years rather than just tomorrow. I don't know what the lease terms are with any of these things. I'm sure we'll discuss it. I don't know about first and last month's rent. I don't know how the utilities are going to play in, especially with the new sewer charges and such like that. But I do know that we were talking about a California Visitor Center, to incorporate that in with our possible city visitor center, which would bring a lot of tourists into this town. And I think that one of the requirements is a public restroom availability for a California Visitor Center, which we have to look at. And that concerns me because most visitor centers have public facilities right then and there or available. So I'm the one actually that wanted you to look at the Morro Bay Realty building because I like where it was. I'm concerned about the Centennial parking lot building because of the impact of parking, which you know that I deal with already. I think the Embarcadero people are going to flip out with a visitor center, but at the same time, it offers far more parking than the Morro Bay Realty place will. And just to go beyond that, I think that's a crucial thing, is the parking. The other thing is the Centennial parking lot has been used for the music festivals, and I don't know if the plan is to not have it there anymore once we have a visitor center there, so that there cannot be, because they shut it down, you know, for various festivals, and people can't come in there unless they pay. So I think that's something you have to look at the Centennial parking lot building.
Okay, I'm kind of pretty clear what I think should be if we have the two choices. Now, of course, there are other choices maybe out there which, you know, we could maybe look at still, but I think the Morro Bay Realty is the way to go. And the reason I'm saying that, first of all, we don't have improvement of $30,000 to $25,000. I mean, it's relatively $3,000 to $5,000. Second, I mean, we all, either way we go, we have to probably pay rent and we have to pay utilities. So it doesn't matter if you go down or up. There's two blocks down the stairway. There is a public restroom from the Morro Bay Realty. You know, you can go down dorms and there's a just stairway down there. So if it's a matter of issue of you know, having some kind of a public restroom. It's not too far from there. Second, square foot wise, the two sites are exactly the same. Parking, I think you have on-site parking, plus you have a street parking. There's hardly anything around that block that takes up parking. Where you go to Embarcadero, there's always shortages of parking. So, and I think if we talk to the owner, probably if we get a long-term lease, we probably could get a better terms than $850 or whatever that they're asking right now. So that's something I think we may be able to negotiate better once we get into a really, you know, final decision. So that's my position on that.
Michelle?
You know, I'm kind of leaning with Alex. I really like the Morro Bay Realty. I've kind of heard Jane's thing. I'm real concerned about the Centennial Park lot for parking issues. Going down to the Embarcadero, I think, as we've hear a lot, the Embarcadero already has parking issues. What would we do if there's a festival? Spending $30,000, to me, $25,000 to $30,000, too, is a concern. I think we need to think long-term, and I just don't see either one of them real long-term, so I would rather think short-term, 3 to 5 years. I'm really leaning toward the Morro Bay Realty. I also know, driving by there quite a bit, my office is just a block from there, there's rarely ever parking issues around that area. I mean, yes, you've got the dedicated spots there, but those streets that are all along there are always pretty open, minus, of course, you know, a festival here and there. But to spend $3,000 to $5,000 versus $25,000 to $30,000, I understand there's rent every month. To me, utilities are a wash. You're going to have utilities, whether it's Centennial Parkway, or you're going to still have to pay the utilities. I don't think the city is going to pick up utilities for us. I mean, I guess it's negotiable, but and I really like this whole maybe having an outside, you know, about the tenant maybe. Or about the deck. Yeah, the owner maybe being interested in moving some deck area for outside. You could have a nice little patio out there for the guests to sit. There was one other. Oh, and bathroom. I really, really have a hard time going with Centennial Parkway with no bathroom at all. You're going to have a staff member using public restrooms. And at least with the Morro Bay Realty, you get a restroom for at least the staff. I don't think, you know, I'm not concerned with public restrooms. I mean, I know that's a concern in general, but I really have a hard time seeing a staff member wanting to be at an office without a restroom too close. That's just a big concern for me in reality world. So I'm really leaning towards Morro Bay Realty, and I agree with Alex. Let's go to the owner and see about maybe a 3-year lease and see if they'll come down a little bit and maybe talk with them about some of these deck improvements and really get, I think, and I love the idea of marrying uptown with downtown. I think that to me is really important for the entire community. We always hear about how we only focus on the water, and I think this would be a good way to show that we're not. We really want to see the entire city benefit. So I'm really leaning towards Morro Bay Realty.
Nick, I'm going to go down to you because these two are on the subcommittee. Surprise.
I agree that, you know, with everything that Alex and Michelle have said, especially about joining Morro Bay Boulevard and the Embarcadero. I think that's critical. The other thing is with the, you know, if we're only going to pay $3,000 to $5,000, I mean, I haven't walked through that building, but if there's any way to extend the restroom so you have an exterior entrance, rather than, you know, the bathroom is the only issue that I have with that building. The other thing we could think about is maybe during the busy time, maybe from, you know, May to October, we can have portable restrooms out there. I don't know. Maybe that's something to look at as well. But seems to be rolling their eyes. But it is a long way. I mean, to walk there from Centennial Park, that's like 2 blocks, and then down the stairs. It's, you know, I could just see somebody that's, you know, have an issue with that. But you know, between the two, I would lean towards the Morro Bay Boulevard location. So.
Yes.
The current visitor center does not have a public restroom, correct?
They have a restroom that's attached to, isn't it? to the boat yard building,
yeah,
the yellow boat yard building?
That building provides a public restroom just right around the corner in the courtyard area.
It's not inside the visitor center. It's in the courtyard there, yeah. John?
I think I'm pretty much agreeing with where everybody's going here. First of all, it seems to me like there's no bad solution here. We've got two good options, which is really good. So we're choosing the better of the two. I'm leaning towards the Morro Bay Realty location as well, and that's a change. I was very much leaning towards the Embarcadero site. I also think being on the boulevard, you know, one of the main entrances to the city, and probably the main entrance, is you get off at the boulevard and you go straight down towards the Embarcadero. So you're going to pick up a lot of people just coming straight down. They're going to see this. It's going to be easy to stop and drop into the visitor center and ask some questions or do whatever you need to do. I think we could fix it up really nice. It can be a really landmark corner, I think, that will make the whole neighborhood look better. And I think that would be really important. I could get kind of excited about this. I like the building itself. I think it, you know, could be painted up and be a neat little place. You know, it just fits what we're looking for. And then, whoever said it, looking 3 to 5 years down the road. I mean, I guess I'm a big supporter of looking at the virtual visitor center. There's an argument that you're always probably going to have some anchor visitor center, but I mean, you can put your anchor visitor center up there, and you can have the virtual visitor center just down the bottom of the hill, at the bottom of the. You know, the stairway once they put the train thing in, be really close. So I think it's a win-win. I'm leading in that direction. I would say the bathroom issue is an issue. But overall, I think I've got to go with the realty direction.
But on a bathroom issue, I just want to make a comment. I mean, no, there is no good solution. But we're actually closer to the bathroom, the public bathroom, from the stairway. You know, so it's not that far off, you know.
I find myself kind of torn also, because I was pretty sold on the Centennial parking lot building. A couple of the things that concern me at this point is it's not just the overall three-year plan in terms of over 3 years we'd spend as much on a rental as we would possibly doing renovations on a city asset. But it's also cash flow. It comes over 3 years as opposed to all in one lump sum in our first year when things are kind of tight now. And I think that's going to be really important in this first year. I think that we've had some indication from the realtor handling the rental that the owner is open to the idea of a visitor center and working with us in terms of rent, lease, and improvements. So that takes a big block off of our shoulders in terms of what we need to get done in the next couple of months. I think that's a big asset. Of course, I am concerned about the bathroom facilities, but there are going to be issues in both. And at least, like Michelle said, we have dedicated to staff facility at the rental property. So I think from those points of views, looking at plus the fact that it's available right now, and we have not been able to get together with staff. They've had a lot on their plate with the wastewater plant, and so we know that we could move forward with this at this point. And I think that's a big issue right now. I mean, we haven't even been able to get together with staff to see if the city asset is going to be available. There would be a lot of issues that they would have to deal with. They have a tenant. They use the garage for storage and for a workshop. There's a lot of iffy propositions to even securing that. And we certainly haven't addressed the cost with the city. On using a city asset. So that's another concern. And this is something that, I mean, it's the end of August. We need to move forward and secure a visitor center so we're ready to go on January 1. So from those points of view, and after looking at, you know, what's available from the city point of view, what's available commercially here in town, and location-wise, I think I'd have to go with the rental.
Well, am I on? Yeah. So, you know, I was really kind of married to the idea of the visitor center down in the parking lot at Centennial. I've walked through it quite a bit more than everyone else. I walked through it with contractors and, you know, folks who want to look at the electrical and blah, 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 to get us some ideas. And there's two things. It's really tough with a visitor center because now we're charged with, which is fine, we're charged with running and manning a visitor center. Visitor center does two things. It meets and greets your guests, so the location should be nearest to the highway. But then once your guests are here, it also fulfills their desires of what they'd like to do. So while they're wandering around the city, they wander into your visitor center. Ideally, for me, we'd have the Morro Bay Coffee Company location or the U-Haul. I mean, that would be like right there at the entrance to our main entrance to our city where most of our people come in. But those aren't available. And there are other spots that are available, but they're considerably higher or they have no dedicated parking. And I think we could ask the city to designate two temporary parking spaces down at Centennial, you know, for 15-minute visitor center parking. I don't see an issue with that. I think they would probably go for that, you know, during visitor center hours. Additionally, you know, there is some space out front to make a little garden. I actually looked at, you know, you could come out 3 feet and kind of do a little sitting area out there. We looked at that as part of the design for the improvement. So there are those two things. So very much so, these weigh very equally to me. It's a toss-up. What I would look for would be to ask the city if they know in the future if there's any plans for city assets to come up or for, let's see, I know that we're getting the, when we discussed the red building, there was some interest in the city about having that red building not exist in at the bottom of the stairs, but to have something else built. And I don't know if it's premature to discuss that or if there's any indication that if we went with the Morro Bay Realty building in a 3 to 5 year or a 1 to 5 year lease option, that something else might be available. Could you elaborate? Or
I'll elaborate on a lot.
Thank you.
In a perfect world, I'd like to see both.
Oh, yeah.
And that goes with the fact that the city just received the renderings and drawings, and I wish I would have brought them, of the Centennial Staircase redevelopment, which has either an elevator or a funicular, whichever one is chosen. And it is quite remarkable change to that whole area. You know, double stairways on both sides and a funicular in the middle, or the elevator kind of juts all the way out and then comes down. So that will hopefully really tie in that up to the down. So when I look at it, you know, I can see you guys wrestling with the two. The uptown has more parking. You know, it might suit it better, but you also need to be attached to where all your tourism goes, which is down below. And that's my model was when I was in Pismo a few weeks ago. They've got probably, I don't think it's more than 20 by 20. It's probably about 400, maybe even 300 square feet on the pier. And it's more just for, you know, the volunteer or the one staff or two staff people that go in there and hand out brochures. And that's what I kind of envision on the Embarcadero somewhere. So that goes to the question is, yes, there is talk about maybe demolishing that whole building and moving it to the other end of the parking lot where it wouldn't block any of the view and be a little bit farther away from the project that'll go on at that staircase. So I haven't looked at how much it's going to cost. 25 to 30,000 seems low. And the question is, since it's a public building, was that prevailing wage? That's part of the problems you get into. It's a public building. It's going to require prevailing wages. And I don't know if you're
that
your
was a
bid.
Question we had for you. Because the 501c6 is hiring the contractor.
Still public property.
Thank you. That changes everything.
There might be some other exceptions that we could look at again, but it is a concern a little bit, and also just the time frame. I mean, I don't think you abandon the red building, but at all, and still talk to city officials and staff and see how that can work. But if you want to have it all done by January 1, I think your better move is up there. And I wouldn't go more than 3 years, though. I'd go the 2 to 3, because then that, you know, the long-term range with doing it with the state, you wouldn't be the one to be locked into a 5 and then come up that you've got to pay rent and you're going somewhere else with the state.
I agree with that, also with the point that if they're going to develop the site somehow city, then I think we would be able to see where we would fit our visitor center in there. Yeah, so okay. It's too early, and I think probably it's going to take a few years anyway, right?
That area is going to change dramatically within the 2 to 3 year
exactly.
time frame. Yeah.
Okay, so back to the board then. I would say that we really do have some new information on the table. The first thing is moving to prevailing wage significantly changes the quote that we had from the contractor, because the contractor had asked me, is this a governmental agency? And I had said, no, it's a private nonprofit. And he said, okay. So he quoted, and he does government work, so he knows, you know, the difference. There's a difference. So for me then, I would move towards the Morro Bay Realty building. It's available now, and I think we've all kind of expressed our concerns or our desires. I think, you know, it can be worked through. I think it can be worked through and made a very nice building, but I think that we need to get moving on this. It's August. So I'm looking for a motion to approve moving forward with the Visitor Center at Morro Bay Realty if there's no more discussion.
Just one other thing.
And continue discussions on, though, as a... I mean, I still think you should be discussing it, that down the other location.
Oh,
this
yeah.
would be one for primary for now. Yeah, I wouldn't.
For primary now, but in the yes. future, yeah, bring it back. And I think this is something the DOT can work with the city on, too, once mm-hmm. we have that individual in.
One other thing that I wanted to mention in terms of moving up off the Embarcadero, too, is we need to start working immediately with the city on signage, because we want to be sure that we can get signage in place to get traffic directed to not just a new location, but a location that's not as obvious to the bulk of the tourism people that come into town. So,
I don't think we should sign anything beyond 3 years either. I think Rob mentioned that. So,
I would say to the board here that you allow the budget subcommittee to go back and negotiate a lease with them. But personally, would negotiate. I'd like to negotiate a 3 year fixed lease with a 6 month vacancy window, so they can give us 6 months or we can give them 6 months. But
can I make a suggestion on that? You can always get an option
after
on
a year.
It. So I would yeah. suggest you go with 3 years, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. fixed, and maybe 2 years option. You can get out of option, of course. There's no point, you know, but at least you have a mm-hmm. control on your rent.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have suddenly jump, you know,
$1,500.
Exactly.
I'll make a motion to move us along and make a motion that we move forward with the Morro Bay Realty and have the subcommittee work with Morro Bay Realty. I would agree with a 3 year lease with the 6 month. I think this is perfect fix for 3 year. In that motion, also, I'd like to make sure that we do not abandon the Centennial Park building and that we still work with city.
And that we include signage.
And that we include signage.
Working with
the city on signage for the new visitor center.
Is there a second on that motion?
One.
Is there a second on that? I have to have a second before we go into discussion. Is there a second on that motion? Sorry, Alex.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, Alex?
One question. Is the signage we're talking about is being right on by the freeway or something?
Well, I think what we'd like to do is take a look at all of that. That's actually on our next agenda, is the signage off of the freeway. But ideally, I think we also need to look at the directional signage that's within the city, asking them to point to satellite visitor centers, which I think we do need. Additionally, from the Embarcadero, where the visitor center is located now, we need something directing people saying, hey, our visitor center is moved to Morro Bay Boulevard. And also, you know, at the key points on the Embarcadero, it would be very nice to have something that says, for visitor serving information, you know, here's our QR code, but you can stop by our physical visitor center right here. So.
Okay.
I would really like to see us do a two-year lease with 3 one-year extensions. So it's a total of a 5-year package on the lease. I would like to see that the 2 years are fixed because of the TIs that we're doing, and I'd like to make sure that the lease has the caps for the indexes.
You know, I think the length of your lease and fixing or capping are going to be negotiable in terms of what we want done to the property before we move in. Right. It gives us a little wiggle room if we're asking for a repaving, a new deck, exterior paint, possibly interior paint. You know, the longer lease period we're willing to sign up for, which I wouldn't recommend more than 3, but I mean, these are all negotiating points. So we'll
then
just have to kind of see,
I would say, let the subcommittee
where we, you know, come in on that. Where,
so then basically then what I would be in favor of is that we move forward on this, don't do the terms of what we're looking for, and let the subcommittee come back to us and say, okay, this is what we can negotiate, instead of putting in a motion of 3 years, blah, 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 so that we're not in the minutiae. We're just saying that we're going to go forward on this building.
I agree. I mean, remember, and it's those double hats now you're wearing. You're sitting as the TBID advisory board. But really, you know, today's the day when you're doing your incorporation, you're picking your chair and your chair and your officers, and you got your bylaws done. You will now be able to meet as the Bureau, and one of those things, because it's a real property negotiations, you now have the ability to go in closed session and talk about what the negotiations should be. This is what the subcommittee's come back with. It's 3 years. It's got this, this, and this. And you can discuss those items. And then go back in negotiations with them. So I think it's best to have the motion to move forward on Morro Bay Realty and have the subcommittee come back with a proposal, proposed lease agreement that you can discuss in closed session. Because now you're gonna start meeting now after this as a Bureau.
Okay. So with my motion, I'd like to friendly change the 3-year. I think everything else I said in there was correct. I said just move forward with Morro Bay Realty, goes back to subcommittee, and let them negotiate, and then keep the other things on the table. And I still would like the city to look at the signage in that motion.
And second the friendly amendments.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 7-0. Okay, discussion of community selection committee interview panel for the Tourism Bureau. Now that we are a Tourism Bureau, we can meet closed session and hold these interviews, as Rob had discussed earlier. So I would like to hear from the board, and I'm just going to quickly poll you so that we can move this forward. Please indicate which direction you'd like to go, if you'd like to add additional community members to the interview process. If you'd like to break the board up into two and add a community member to each one of the two, or if you would like the board to stay together as a whole and do the interview panel as a whole. Nick, let's start with you.
I think initially I would, you know, like to include a community member in the board, I'm not in favor of breaking the board up into two groups. I think one group, I mean, but looking at it for time-wise, though, I mean, then we'd have to go out, and I don't know if the city would put an announcement, and then we'd have to interview for people to be on. I mean, we're looking at...
No, we would just select them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes it a little bit simpler, because I'm concerned about the time frame. I mean, if we can just come up with person... maybe one or two people to join our board in the interview, I think that would
include the public in a small way in this process. So I'm kind of in favor of that, as long as it doesn't get drug out as far as
so
time.
We're seven. Are you looking to go to eight or nine?
Probably eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
Okay. That would okay. There's no tiebreaker. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tiebreakers.
There wouldn't be a tiebreaker. It's just really to get input from that person. Right. They wouldn't be voting on the person who would come
They'd
back
be
to the
officio?
Bureau. The bureau would make the final decision.
Okay.
It would be more just to get input from the public. I would say when usually how typical interviews with city is, and that can be different because you're a bureau now, you're a nonprofit, is. You know, you kind of go down and ask interview questions. And so, you know, you already have seven, which is kind of an unruly panel to interview someone to begin with. And when you go 8, 9, or 10, it is a large group. And that's why my suggestion, if you are going to add, you really do kind of, you break it up. And what happens is it doesn't take any more time. It's just more difficult on the interviewee, because they've got to go from one panel and they go to another, and you can have separate questions altogether in the two panels.
Just to add on, if you want to add person, my suggestion is to get maybe human resources
HR.
in the city, because I think there's a lot of legal and, you know, how we interview and so forth. That would give us a better help than someone from public, which we have to really figure out who that is, and probably have to interview that person ourselves by the time, you know, we only have a couple of weeks to go. So I would say if we can get somebody that help us legal-wise, and maybe, human resource are usually good at the interview and so forth, and that would guide us a little bit more to find the right person.
Okay, John, thank you, Alex. Thank you, Nick. John?
I think I would probably suggest breaking this group, adding people and then breaking it in half. It just seems to me like you've got 8 or 10 people up here. You know, you're going to make this person pretty uncomfortable, I think.
And let me tell you a little bit of the process, because I think I can give you a little bit of direction. So if you broke it up, you'd be able to add, and did 2 5-member panels, you'd be able to add 3 more people. And then we would provide you, we can do the research and provide you with a number of questions that these two panels can ask that are totally different. And then what you do is we've got the grading scale for those where you rank them as they come in. And then really those rankings from the two panels would come back to the bureau. And then there'd be a second level once you narrow it down to through, which would just be this group. I kind of like that idea. You're getting some input from community members. It isn't any more time for you guys than doing it all on the same day. You know, maybe a little bit longer of a day, but I kind of like that idea best, to get the most input, get some community development, put an HR person on it, and again, like you said, then. If you're thinking those outside people, you know, they're not going to have a vote, really. You would take their grading sheets and they're into it. But you're still going to have a time to see them all together in that second interview for the top three.
How long, Rob, does one of those panel meetings usually take?
We allocate usually 30 to 45 minutes for each interview person. You know, we've kept them to 30. If you kind of depends on how many you get. If you're going to do 12 and you want to get it done in a day, then we narrow it down to 30 minutes. If you figure when you go over the initial ones and determine you only have 6 to 8, then you could go longer.
And I think I'll let Rob's comments be my comments. Thank you, Rob. And then second, I think it would be important to get some. I'm not a big supporter of getting an army of people to give us input, but I think getting some selected people in the community that are involved in the tourism industry, getting their input, I think would be very important for a number of reasons. So that's the way I would go.
Initially, I wasn't too excited by the idea of expanding the board, but I think with Rob's comments and the idea that we can actually bring some people, some other perspectives in from the community, but still keep it at a manageable level, I'm very comfortable with that. And again, it depends on what we get in applications and how many interviewees we have. And it could, you know, hopefully we can get it all done in get it all done in one day. But if it expands 2 days, that might be easier because this is a professional job, so there could be people coming from out of town. Mm-hmm. And it may be easier to give them a window of opportunity for interviews. So, but I'm okay with adding three community people, working with city's HR in terms of developing an interview question sheet, scaling. And then for final interview, coming back to this board and taking it from there.
Pardon me, Michelle?
I'll agree with everything Rob said. I think we should go to 2 5-member panels. I would vote the city HR be one of those and then 2 people from out in the, yeah. So you've got 2 fives, and then it comes back to the full board. I think that's very simple and clean, and I do think I'd like to get the outside public involved. I've been saying that a lot. We need to get everybody behind this, so I think that's a good start.
Alex?
I'm in agreement. I think we'd definitely have a break down the panel. I think kind of intimidating to have 7-8 people doing one at a time, and I'm not sure, of course, how fast we can get the member or who should be the member. Besides, of course, the HR is straightforward, but I agree that we should get, you know, at least in the community, if anybody is involved with the tourist industry, it would be nice to be part of this panel.
Yeah, and another thought that I just had in adding to this, when we're talking about 2 panels, we're talking about both panels interviewing all applicants, but with different sets of criteria in their interviews, maybe one in terms of community development and one in terms of marketing, or one in terms of tourism development and one in terms of marketing, something like that. So, but where everybody on both panels has a chance to take a look at each candidate, so...
Jane.
I envision 1,000 resumes to look at. So,
so do I.
I'm not a happy camper with that. Number one, I think that involving the public is really important. I think that John made some very, Jambarda made valid comments. There are people that don't sit on this board that are not hoteliers that have insight, knowledge, and can really help us. So I'm very much in favor of that. And I had a question because you're giving us a lot of legal advice today, okay, which I totally appreciate. You know, little comments here or there. Is that going to cost us money? No, I'm serious.
No.
Are we going to get billed by the city?
No.
And also, are we going to get billed by the city when we use their HR?
No,
okay.
Absolutely not.
This is on the record here.
No, anytime. For example, for our police chief panel, we have people coming from all other organizations. It's just from one political body to another. It's allowed.
Okay.
You will not see any. I mean, my goal, obviously, and I have not been shied away from this, is I like the Bureau idea because a year from now I would like to not be involved anymore and you guys will be self-sufficient, but
right.
You won't get a bill from the city. You haven't up to this point for city staff time. We've charged no administrative fee whatsoever, and that'll continue on to get you up and running and get you to the point where you're self-sufficient.
All right. So basically, as I say, I really would embrace the public to be involved. I don't see, I also think that we could, if we get 1,000 resumes, it's different than going through 100. If we get 1,000 resumes, I don't see why we don't trust each other enough to say, hey, if Karen decided this resume wasn't good enough on her team, I believe in that. You know, so
don't we have a subcommittee that's kind of charged with review of the resumes and gleaning through, making sure qualifications are there?
So basically, we're not dropping that.
It won't be 1,000 interviews.
It won't.
I mean, we can.
Okay, so the subcommittee is going
to
go through those resumes and pass the other ones along. Okay,
and
as long as I'm clear.
Remember again,
of the 1,000 resumes.
It's the Bureau. I know this. I'm going to have to keep on. It's the Bureau that's going to be reviewing the applications.
That's right.
Wearing your hat at that point in time, And, I mean, you know, since we've been through it, I don't think you'll get 1,000, but you could easily get 100 to 200. And the way we do it is,
we'll
you know,
be fine.
We put it in the three piles. Absolutely mm-hmm. want to interview them, maybe, and the no. And if there really is amongst the subcommittee where they can't agree on the maybes, then that might be where the Bureau says, okay, there's these, we've got 8 for sure. Here's another 8 that we're not sure about. You can bring it to all the whole board and decide which ones you want to interview.
So, I'm sorry, Karen.
You had said something earlier about being able, as a Bureau, to meet off the camera without being publicly noticed and all. Now,
you're able to meet in closed session for the appointment of this position because you're actually, the Bureau will be hiring that position. You're
so
directly related to it.
Includes the whole process of?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, so back to getting through this. I agree with 2 panels of 5, adding 3 people, 1 to include a city person or a city HR person, somebody from the city. And so then 2 other people from the public. Jane and Michelle and I talked about this. This was kind of our vision from the get-go to add some people on the interview committee. We have a list of people that are narrowed down that we could ask. So if you'll just give us that leeway to do that, I'd look for a motion to move to a 2-panel interview process, allow us to collect the resumes and go through them. Just to begin to move through the process, but that we move through adding 3 people from the community, 1 to include a HR city person who can kind of help us out.
I would move that the subcommittee task with setting up with review of the interview, the applications, and setting up the interview panels, go ahead and get that process started. And do it with the 3 community members, 1 being city, hopefully HR, or somebody involved with the city in terms of helping, giving us some direction on the interview process.
I'll second.
Michelle seconds. Any further discussion?
Now, does the Bureau, I think we talked about this before, but I just want to clarify, is the Bureau subject to the Brown Act?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Okay.
But we do have the exception for closed session that allows you for this appointment period.
Okay.
But, yeah, you are subject to it because of the governmental funds that are being used.
All right. Because I was just curious about what the list of the public that the subcommittee had. I don't know if we want to talk about that or just trust the subcommittee to come up with.
I think the subcommittee will narrow its list of community members to sit on it, but I think you'd want to come back to the Bureau with the final list and vote of, okay, these are the 3 members.
Okay, yeah, because we have not picked up we've narrowed the list to 12 or so people that we can ask. It depends on their availability in that time frame also. So there's some, you know, once we have this motion on the table, we'll get back to getting back to them and I guess let them know that the whole board is going to vote on them, or do you trust us to just narrow it down to 3 responsible people who, you know, you can even narrow it, I guess, in this motion. We've got the one coming from the city/HR.
Right.
You
so that just
say
leaves 2 other people.
Visitor serving or mm-hmm. not.
I'm open. My motion was that you're just looking at people from the community.
No,
I'm open to that, so I don't think it needs to go further than that. And actually, I'm okay with the, as stated in the motion, that the subcommittee choose the 2 additional people. If the
without a full vote of the
if the panel if the board is not comfortable with that, then we need another motion.
I would suggest too, if anybody has suggestions of somebody, then send them to us.
They're probably on the list. If you're suggesting somebody, they're probably on the list, but we'd be happy to take your suggestion. Is that okay?
Yeah.
They can just shoot me, Michelle or Jane, an email with suggestion. Motion's on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, now we are on. I was sent an email by Dana from I'm on. Okay.
That's why we keep telling you.
Everyone's yelling at me today. I was sent an email by Dana from Rob's office asking us to make sure, here it is, right? That we make sure that we select officers for the board. And we have noted in our new bylaws, let us all pull those new bylaws, under officers here, and I wish I had earmarked it, but I did not. Oh. Page 5, thank you. Jane's got me. Thanks, Jane. Office held. The officers of the corporation shall be a chairperson, a vice chairperson, a secretary, a treasurer, and other officers of the board. May from time to time designate all officers shall be members in good standing of the board. Yeah, so I guess we're all out of here. Rob, you're on your own.
And this is the last thing that they need to file to get with the California corporations to get it through. I would say, you know, what your chair and vice chair. It's the secretary and treasurer. I would say for the secretary, that person, you know, will work hand in hand with my office and with Jamie for at least the first year on doing the minutes and doing those things. You know, like I said, we're not going to abandon you. But that's primarily what the secretary, though, when it's up and said and done, is going to be the person keeping the minutes and bringing them forward at the next meeting. And then the treasurer is obviously, you know, responsible for the checkbook and the finances, and we've talked about checks and balances we can do with that as we get going with regards to two members having to sign the checks and things like that. So, you know, I that's what we need to do to finish it up, is get a chairperson, vice chairperson, secretary, and treasurer. You can wait on the other ones. And, you know, this, and I guess when I was reading it, I was thinking, you know, some of them might not want to be the treasurer. And that might be actually what, once you're up and running, someone has to be it right now, but it can be changed at any time. That might be one of your non-ex officio persons that you're looking for, is someone that has more of a financial treasurer background that would be able to want to do that and be on the board. So that's just an idea I came up with.
Can I ask, can I restate that a little bit? Mm-hmm. Or not restate that, you stated it yourself, but in other nonprofits that I've formed, been quite involved in, we, for instance, the DOT, if the DOT hires a person, that person can, we can just have them come in, type up minutes, interface with your office. The secretary that we're asking for right now is somebody that signs off documents of our board. It doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that takes minutes or interfaces. We could hire somebody to do that. And the other thing with the treasurer is, with the amount of money that we handle, the treasurer here can report, but we can hire somebody that does all the accounting so that our treasurer is not doing that. And I want to be really clear that we don't handle that type of thing, both of them.
I agree,
especially because of our D&O and E&O.
Yeah.
Which is in place, right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, it's. I'll give you the example of San Simeon Community Service District, which I also represent. They use Glenn Burnett. They tell them what checks to write each month, and then two of the board members sign it, but they don't keep any of the records whatsoever. They don't balance the checkbook. They provide us a financial statement once a month of what transactions have occurred. They even get the. I think they actually even get the statement. We can get a statement, but the statement from the bank actually goes to them. So absolutely, those things can be done. It's additional cost. I mean, I've seen it in some nonprofit where they don't do that, and you've got a member on the board that does all the banking.
Okay, so we are then, does the chair, so I just want to, the chair and the vice chair mirror, because the board mirrors, or no? Okay. So.
We wrote this a couple of months ago anyway, so we already have that in place, so we should just leave it as. The only thing, we have two more you know, officer that we need to add, which is the treasury and the secretary. That's
so I guess we're looking for volunteers for secretary and treasury, or we can start picking.
Well, I'd like to. I think it's obvious that the best person on this board to be treasurer would be Mr. Myers, Member Myers.
Oh, Mr. Myers, are you open to that?
I want to be secretary.
You want to be secretary?
Well,
okay.
Can be secretary as well.
I would like Karen to be treasurer, and I would like John to be secretary.
I was just kidding about that.
It's not, no, because secretary is really important, because you dot the I's, cross the T's, and you're signing on behalf of this bureau. And you are good at details. I would vote for you, John. That's why I'm staying over my time limit.
I'm okay with
that. So nobody...
Treasurer, secretary.
That's right. We've got CPA.
Uh-oh. John, how do you feel about being secretary? He needs to accept it.
I'll be co-secretary.
You'll be co-secretary? Will you be co-secretary, Alex? No?
I'll do the treasurer.
It's administrative assistant. That's right. No, serious. We need to be serious, though. So, Karen, are you comfortable with treasurer? Okay, so I need to know if John is denying his ability to be... the secretary, or what's in it for you? That's fine. Okay. Okay, so we have a secretary, a treasurer, and I need to make...
And I move that the board mirror the existing T-bid in terms of chairperson and vice chair.
I'll second that.
That's a double down. Okay.
Is that a motion?
Is that a motion? So we've got a motion that the board mirror chair... vice chair, that Karen be treasurer, John be secretary. Do we have to take those separately? If we can put it all in one motion. Is there a second on that motion?
I'll second.
I'll second.
I think Nick jumped in first. Sorry, Alex. Is there further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? We have huge consensus today here. All of our votes have been 7-0. Wonderful. Wonderful work, and we have moved down to the bottom of our agenda, which is closure of the meeting. So at this point, I thank all of you for your hard work and your efforts. Congratulations on forming your new 501c, the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. Thank you, Rob, for all you have done over the last year to move us along, and Andrea, too. You guys have really been on board with this, and that has really helped to move it quickly. I think the teamwork that city staff has shown has been tremendous for us, and we hope that we have that teamwork as we move through the visitor center, the contract with advice for the location of the visitor center, and we appreciate everything that you do. With that, I look for a motion to adjourn. Your microphone wasn't on. She makes a motion
second.
That we adjourn. There's a second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Get your sweeping bag. Thank you.